He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us now. And Jim, like the rest of us, we're kind of keeping track of the comings and goings of this coaching search. And it's been, I mean, it's been, I want to use the word wild, but that's really not appropriate because you don't really know how it's gone on because it's been kept cloistered. It's very much a behind the closed doors process, but we are hearing dribs and drabs of reports of who the Browns are looking to talk to or have talked to, and it's an interesting list. But as this goes on, it still looks like that guy, I'm sure, is out there, but this team is being very methodical in the process.
Well, it looked like it was going to be very fast, Vic. I mean, it really did. I mean, last weekend, it looked like we were going to have a very quick decision and that the Browns might have their coach announced before anybody else had their coach announced after that very, very busy Black Monday where so many teams decided to make changes. When that did not happen then, we went into a situation where it kind of came out that the Browns were going to reboot and kind of take a look at everything and start all over again, and that's exactly what they have done so far. And I think everybody is edgy and probably wants a quick decision, but more importantly, if you can get by that, I mean, you want it to be the right decision.
Yeah, I think the quickness of it doesn't really, to me, matter if you're going about it the right way as far as staying true to your profile, to that criteria that you heard Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner talk about, the strong leader, the disciplined guy, the organized guy, and on and on. And all those things, the toughness, the tough-mindedness. I think when you're seeking those specific qualities, it makes sense to go through your list, whatever that list is, and then judge when it's all said and done. Line them up next to each other. Okay, who has the edge based on these qualities and then whatever else you want to put into the mix?
Yeah, and the other thing that's interesting, Vic, is that I don't think I've seen an off season and a coaching search season, and that's what this has become now, that has been so prone to go to the college game to interview people. I mean, really, college coaches have really been kind of kept in their category of college coaches. And if you're a college coach, you look for another college coaching job.
Right.
But you don't get into the NFL. But that was not the case, certainly, last weekend. I mean, you had Chip Kelly. You had Doug Marrone. You had everybody still wondering what was going to go on with Nick Saban. You had Bill O'Brien at Penn State. Was he going to leave Penn State after a very successful 1 year in Happy Valley? So I have never seen that in a long time where the college coach has become back in play to come into the NFL.
Yeah, and that either says a lot about the talent of college coaching. Maybe it doesn't speak so well of the available talent among NFL coaching, although I don't necessarily believe that. I think there is an effort made by teams, and I think a good one, to kind of seek the fresh ideas and the fresh faces. And let's face it, the college game, the way coaches coach at the collegiate level now in football, is not that different than what we see in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are seeing more of the college game creep into the NFL, and in very successful measures. I mean, only last weekend, I mean, you're watching Russell Wilson and Seattle run what looks like a very, an offense that you see in a lot of stadiums on a Saturday afternoon during the fall. You're watching RG3 and the Redskins, and we saw it here in Cleveland, although not in its true form because he didn't play here that day, but we saw it happen there. We will see Bill Belichick use a form of what we see the Oregon Ducks run on Saturday afternoons out in Eugene. I mean, it really is apparent that the college game is creeping in to the games on Sunday, and so maybe the thinkers on Saturday are going to get into the game on Sunday.
Now, that said, so if you scratch off Chip Kelly because he went back to to Oregon and decided he wasn't going to make the jump to the NFL, to Cleveland, or anywhere else, you scratch off Doug Marrone from Syracuse because he accepts the job with Buffalo, you scratch off Bill O'Brien because he's staying at Penn State, you scratch off Nick Saban because he couldn't have been more definitive in his sense of I want to stay at the college level. I know I want nothing more with the NFL, and he couldn't. He was chapter and verse
in
pointing out all the reasons why he didn't want to make that move, and that's fine. I respect that. So if we do that, then I would think the search for the Browns and for the other teams seeking head coaches is confined to those in the league or who had been in the league. And in specifically in the Browns' case, it's been an interesting and varied cast. If you bring in a name like Mark Trestman, who from the Montreal Alouettes, but with ample NFL experience behind him. I mean, he's a guy, if you're looking for that real technical presence on your offense, a guy who I think could work with a quarterback and just work with all positions in general to make them technically better. That's the kind of guy who can do that.
Yeah, if you were telling me, Vic, that you were going to bring Mark Trestman in here and he was going to take over Brandon Whedon and Colt McCoy or anyone else that you're going to have in your quarterback room, I'm all in. I really am. I think that's a very interesting move. It's a very progressive move. It's a very probably filled with some successes, too, because I think he is an offensive guy, and he's a quarterback maker.
Right.
I think he polishes a quarterback off. I mean, he obviously runs it almost as a business now, getting a kid ready for workouts and for the NFL draft. I'm a little, wondering about the whole head coaching thing. Mm. Just in his demeanor. I mean, I know Mark from his time here in Cleveland, and he's a real kind of cerebral guy. Kind of a thinker, an analytical guy, a guy that really taught quietly rather than, what they had kind of laid out in that Monday press conference of what they wanted. Not that they want a yeller and a screamer, but a real strong, leader. I think Mark's leadership might be more passive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, and that's another thing to look at, and that's, I guess, something you got to glean when you get a chance to meet someone face-to-face. Another name, Bruce Arians, for all the impressive work he did with the Indianapolis Colts, and more so because he did it under such duress coming in there in place of Chuck Pagano, who's battling leukemia and who comes back at the end of the year. But it really was Bruce Arians' influence on Andrew Luck and on that offense in general, and his play calling and the smoothness with which he was calling plays and the timing that he would have certain plays called, that I know, talking to a lot of people in Indianapolis, was really the key to the Colts' ability to make the playoffs.
Yeah, never more so, Vic, than in the game against the Browns that day.
Yeah.
If you remember, the Browns had played very well the week before, had won, I believe, against Cincinnati, were going down to take on the Colts that Sunday. Indianapolis was ripped apart with injuries. They had a lot of injuries. They didn't know if they had a healthy running back going into the game.
Right.
And I always felt he had the Browns on their heels that day, especially in the first half where, the Browns looked very unsettled that day. Mm-hmm. And that was what Bruce Arians, I think, really did. When he's really working, I think that, when he did it with the Steelers, I mean, as their offensive coordinator, he always had you a little bit on your heels that you didn't know, were you going to play Steeler football that day or was he going to open it up and, start throwing 70-yard bombs and beat you that way? So he always had you on your heels. He was a very good guy here, I thought, when he was with Butch Davis. He's an intriguing guy. He probably deserves a head coaching job. He really does, I think, for his work.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yeah, and he wants it now. This is his time. This is his shot. Now, he's about 60 years old, and I don't think, realistically, if nothing occurred for him now, or if he didn't pursue it now, he would never get that chance.
Yeah.
So I think he knows he's got a strike now.
Let me throw another thing out at you that interests me about him, and I'm sure it comes up in these interviews, Vic, is you have to ask these guys who have not been head coaches before. Now, Bruce coached at Temple, but, he was – can you get a staff?
Hmm.
And I'm sure that's important with those college coaches. What kind of staff are you going to be able to get?
Right.
Now, I would think that Bruce Arians would say, I can get a staff. In fact, I can go right over to Pittsburgh and probably get a couple of assistant coaches over there. And what about Bruce Arians how helpful would he be if you were going to get into the Mike Wallace sweepstakes in free agency, that Wallace might find a friend in his former offensive coordinator in Bruce Arians? Those are some of the things that he might be able to put as chips out on the table when you're talking to him in an interview process.
I think that's a great point, because that's what you are looking for with a coach, is that sphere of influence that he could have around the league based on his previous stops. Other names that have been tossed around that we've heard, of course, Ken Wisenhunt from the Cardinals, and he's an obvious guy that you look at, led his team to a Super Bowl. Another NFC coach, former NFC coach, who led his team to a Super Bowl, Lovie Smith for the Bears. And you almost wonder why Lovie Smith wasn't the same slam dunk kind of pick the way Andy Reid was.
Absolutely.
Because I think he's done an excellent job there in Chicago, a 10-win season. And there are a lot of folks who've been asking me, and I'll ask you the same question, is that, what are we missing? Because the guy certainly has been a presence in this league, and he's well-respected in this league as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. And I think that, when they've had a tough year, it's been because it's really been because of injuries. I mean, they've really been wiped out a couple of times. I mean, you know, this year a little bit, but definitely last year when Cutler went down and was injured, I mean, they had no quarterbacks. And isn't that really what it comes down to in a lot of these situations?
Yeah.
Do you have a quarterback? Ken Whisenhunt, when he had Kurt Warner, I mean, he went to the Super Bowl. They were rolling. When their quarterback situation really kind of became a cloud of mystery, Kevin Cobb and Skelton and all these guys, Matt Leinart and all these guys out in Arizona, that's when all of a sudden Ken Whisenhunt became a little bit more vulnerable. But, you know, he was brilliant and a tough guy when they were rolling. And you got to wonder about the same thing with Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
I really thought when Lovie Smith's Bears were all put together, I thought that they were a Super Bowl contender coming out of the NFC.
No, I think you're right.
So I don't know why. I wouldn't be afraid of Lovie Smith, I'll tell you that. I think he's a heck of a coach.
Not at all. And other names, and again, these are all via reports. The Browns aren't going out there and confirming or saying anything about who's in their plans or who's not in their plans or who they plan to interview. I think that you'll hear from Jimmy Haslam, their owner, and Joe Banner, their CEO, when a guy is named. And I think that's the only time we're going to hear from them along the way. But Rob Chudzinski's name has been brought up, and that's a guy who, of course, was here as an offensive coordinator.
And red hot one year when they went 10-6 and made Derek Anderson a Pro Bowler and got squeezed out a 1,300-yard rushing season on a one-year contract with Jamal Lewis. But it was the evolution of Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow with Joe Juravicius in there, and the Browns could score points and should have made the playoffs that year. Chudzinski was never hotter than that season. And it was a real thought, Vic, that he was going to end up as the Ravens head coach.
Right.
He was scheduled to go for an interview, but then the Browns perked up his contract. And I think, you know, there was a point in time where Rob probably thought he might be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
But then the next year it all fell apart. Everything that was so great in the 10-6 year was so bad the next year. And, of course, that staff got blown apart.
But he is a guy who you want to talk about aggressive offensive mentality,
yes,
and a guy who wants to work
fault,
that passing
maybe
game, and maybe
to
a fault.
To a
You're
fault,
right, because there has to be some balance with that. Okay, talked about that. We are going to have another segment with you, Jim, because we want to talk about, in our continuing series of positional reviews on the Browns, the defensive line, a whole lot to get into there. He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850. WKNR.